Kildare Today
with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, just a couple of messages to react to the newspaper review. Jim Fitzpatrick in Kingsgrove in a tie. Jim Bulla, slap on the wrist. Nobody's to enter for the mystery voice until the next hour. I'll tell you, I just give you a little sample of what it is that you can be thinking about. Regarding the article in today's papers about the amount of money being paid, or that RT is going to be looking for an increase in the licence fee, and suggestions that maybe if they didn't pay presenters between $250,000 and $500,000, for doing a couple of hours on radio or television. Joyce says RT could cut the bill if they paid less and stopped double jobbing within the organisation. Well, if people are talented, they'll do various things. But am I jealous? Of course I am. If anyone wants to pay me $500,000 or $250,000, of course I'll accept it. So let's not blame the people who are actually receiving that kind of money. Their job is to try and maximise the value of their talents. That's the bottom line. It's the other side of the table that might need to address it. Morning, how are you? I'm Lawrence from Monastreven. Good man, Lawrence. Am I having a try to the mystery sound? No, Lawrence, you're not. I said in the next hour, please. Keep the messages coming anyway. They're much appreciated. 0833 97 97 97. WhatsApp or text. Email studio@kfmradio.com, or indeed you can speak to us on the phone. Dipna will take your calls on 045 898 999. More than 11,700 children and teenagers accessed child and adolescent mental health services, called CAMHS, last year by the end of November. 20% above the demand the HSE was expecting for the year. What's it all about, I wonder? He's a Kildare general practitioner. He's spokesperson for the Kildare faculty of the Irish College of General Practitioners, and he's assistant professor for primary care at Trinity College Dublin. Dr. Brendan O'Shea, good morning again, Brendan.
Good morning.
What do you think of those numbers? Nearly 12,000 children and teenagers.
Well, I would have to think that it's a huge underestimate. And as I looked at the headline and read into it, I found myself getting very exercised. And again, and somewhat disappointed at the Irish Times to some extent. They're really only looking at secondary care. Nobody is seeing the work that's being done in general practice with GPs, practice nurses and parents. The real number is vastly greater than that. It's been a very difficult year for young people and adolescents the last 2 years. And being a young person and an adolescent in our kind of society anyway is a very difficult thing. The numbers are far greater than that. That's the first thing that struck me. The second thing that struck me was that only 221 were waiting for more than a year of the 11,700 referred into secondary care. So nobody should wait for any length for essential mental health services, but 221 over 11,700, it's not as bad as it may seem. Some other observations, I suppose implicit in the feature is as more money needs to be put into secondary care, child and adolescent.
Can I just just hold you on that point, because just come back to what you just said there. The HSE says that 6%, 221 children have been waiting more than a year to be seen. Now, to me, if you are encountering a mental health issues, there should be no waiting time, or it should be minimised to as low as possible. But somebody who has mental health issues having to wait a year to have them dealt with or to access mental health services surely is compounding the problem, is it not?
There's no doubt that it is. And I would agree with you absolutely in principle that these services are essential and should be rapidly and reliably available. But if you look coldly at the numbers, 221 over 11,700, the vast majority are being seen within the year. But we're all in agreement with this. And in terms of prioritising, the mental health of our younger people has to be an absolutely top priority. It's got to be even higher than the mental health of middle-aged people like you and I. It just has to be. That's just the way that it is. But we also have to drill in and to be practical about it. A significant amount of money is being spent on this, and you just have to wonder the way services are being provided, whether throwing more money into this same system is the correct thing to do or not.
Now, in fairness to the HSE, they say 75% were offered an appointment within 12 weeks. That's 3 months, just below their target. And nearly 96% of accepted referrals or re-referrals, I don't know what that should mean, a re-referral, were offered a first appointment and seen within 12 months. We've already made the point about 12 months. I want to ask you, just go back there for a moment, and you mentioned secondary care. In terms of secondary care, are you talking about what you opened this chat with, the numbers of people who are going to GPs in the first place, which are not counted in this survey?
That's exactly my point. They're not being counted. And thousands of families in Kildare will have had significant mental health issues with their young people. Or to put it another way, thousands of young people in Kildare have significant mental health issues. Primary care are the services that people can access directly themselves in their community. That's what primary care is. And by far the biggest bulk of primary care is delivered in general practice. Now, if we were writing the article, we'd have a different perspective. We wouldn't be saying 11,700. We'd be saying hundreds of thousands of people, young people, are attending our practices with significant mental health issues.
So and what have we, a tsunami of mental health in this country? And I might put this to you, and I'm not being cynical whatsoever. If I uttered the term self-fulfilling prophecy, that the more we talk about it, the more we focus on it, the more attention we draw to it, is there any stretch of the imagination where one could say that these self-fulfilling prophecies is what brings about these huge numbers in some cases?
Well, what I would have to say is that it applies to any health issue, that once you start seriously looking, you find more things, and some of the things are important. Now, we can sit back and ask ourselves, what's it like to be young in this country? And I would refer to the Growing Up in Ireland study, which is a really strong piece of science. And it's very clear from that, and it's clear from other pieces, that it is difficult growing up these days. Maybe it always has been. But again, you have a GP on the line here. We're talking about what we can see in our practices. And we certainly see significant anxiety. We see depression. We see substance misuse. We see a lot of actually not unreasonable or unexpected stress and anxiety around the issues that adolescents are grappling with in the kind of society that we have, issues relating to sexual health and problem use of substances, particularly cannabis and also alcohol.
So how frustrated and how helpless do you feel when you encounter that in your surgery and your colleagues encounter it in surgeries? And you know, when you tell these people, with the greatest of sincerity, I'm referring you to see a child psychologist or whatever else.
No, that's the, okay. We're really drilled to not be desperate about things. People are brilliant when they recognise it as an issue. And often the most inspiring people in all of this are the young people themselves, who in this chapter are sometimes cast as the patient. But what would we like? That's the question I've been hoping you'd ask. Well,
yes.
What would we like for general practice? Well, at the moment, what we have is we only have 46 or 48 GPs per 100,000 population in County Kildare. If this was Manchester, the number would be closer to 90 or to 110. If we had a practice in Manchester or Birmingham or Cardiff or any of the small towns throughout the NHS, we would have a lot more ancillary practice staff, particularly we'd have more practice nursing. We would have visiting counsellors into the practice, so that if I was in Newbridge and I needed somebody to be seen for talking therapy, it could happen in my surgery, that I wouldn't have to ask to go to NACE or to go to a Thai or somewhere like that. So that's how you begin to close down the gaps. So implicit in this headline in the Irish Times and in the statement by the HSE is, we'd like more funding for the services that we have. Well, from general practice, and I think probably for a lot of families, we would like a different type of service that would have much stronger talking therapies, where we could intervene at an earlier level with problem drinking, with risky behaviour, with oppositional defiant dynamics, and with clinically significant anxiety and depression.
So what you're saying there, Brendan, is you'd prefer to be in a position, you and your colleagues, where you can refer that person in front of you to the office next door to you, where there's a qualified person who can deal with it on a specific basis,
yes,
before referring them onwards, maybe.
That's exactly it. And it would be earlier and it's quicker. And again, you know, listeners of KFM are, you know, a lot of them are a very prosperous crowd, and it isn't a big problem for them to travel from A to B. But we know that a lot of mental health issues are more prevalent and more difficult in socioeconomically deprived areas. And people who live in these areas, those kind of barriers, the barriers of distance, of travelling and associated costs, they're small costs, but they're really big barriers. We want it in the practice. We want it to be like the NHS in key respects.
All right. On that note, Brendan, before you go to your very busy practice, I know how busy it is. Just the whole COVID situation, the plan, it looks like restrictions are going to be reduced significantly. What are you encountering in your surgery and in your practice in regards to people looking for PCRs or tests or whatever else?
Well, it's a real seesaw, and certainly 3 weeks ago we were really girding our loins for a very frightening encounter with the Omicron surge. That now appears to be appearing in the rearview mirror. There is definitely some sense of relief. In the last 4 to 6 weeks, we've seen large numbers of positive tests, but we've seen an awful lot less serious illness in our practices. People are continuing to be brilliant. Practices have been disturbed. We've had to, certainly in our practice and in others, we were with Clare Clinical Society last night, lots of practices batten down their consulting and close down the number of face-to-face consultations. But there's a feeling that that's all beginning to loosen up again. And thanks ever so much, everybody who's helped and cooperated with that. You would be struck dead by lightning for saying we haven't had such a bad pandemic. In key respects, we've done certain things very well. Everybody has. I hope the lessons we've learnt in all of this won't be lost. And let's bring on the next thing, whatever that is.
Yes, indeed. Well, as one of the papers is reflecting today, that future planning is already underway and assessment's been carried out on how we dealt with it to date, so that in order that we can improve our reaction when undoubtedly other variants emerge into the future. Meanwhile, thank you once again, Brendan. I know how busy you are as a GP, speaking on behalf of the Irish College of General Practitioners here in Kildare, and your duties as Assistant Professor for Primary Care at Trinity College Dublin, Dr. Brendan O'Shea. Thank you again, Brendan, and stay safe.
Good morning. Take care. Bye, Clem.
And you too. Now, after the break, we're going to be speaking with the Cahir Look of the Atai Municipal District's emotions he brought there. We'll give you another shout at the mystery sound, but don't enter until the second hour. And we'll hear the good news of how Kildare Local Enterprise Office is creating jobs here in the county and supporting well over 1,000 employees in this county as well.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. Whitewatersc.ie.
Okay, now, as just a reminder, by the way, we'll also be hearing from Glenn Ryan on the programme this morning, because the interview that he did for us last week following the win over Carlow, we'll give you a chance to hear that interview in full. For those of you who didn't hear it on Kildare Scoreboard on the last Monday evening's programme or whatever. Kildare, of course, in action this evening in the Auburn Cup semi-final, and that's against Laois, 7:30 in Netwatch Cullen Park in Carlow, and our commentary team will be, as usual, Ger McNally and Peter McConnon, and our coverage brought to you in association with Hanlon Concrete Products of Robertstown. Now, stake is a place in the final, and who's waiting in the final? The Dubs are waiting in the final, and that final has been fixed for next Saturday at 3 o'clock, also in Netwatch Cullen Park. So it could prove to be a very, very busy weekend for us again, because then on Sunday we have two teams in action. Naas Hurlers go into the All-Ireland semi-final in Ballinasloe at 2 o'clock against Tureen of Mayo. We'll have full commentary on that game with Ger McNally and Seamus Dillon. And later that afternoon, of course, the Kildare Hurlers go to Westmeath for the second round of the Auburn Cup. So yet another very, very busy week. And it's not just GAA, because Naas Rugby Club is doing very well in the All-Ireland League at the moment. They're currently lying in third place, and they're also in action on Saturday afternoon. And on Sportsbeat, we'll have live updates with Anthony Lawler Saturday Sports Beat, presented by Ben Atkinson. Sunday Sports Beat, of course, with Paul Power and Owen Beattie. He's online at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to the south of the county, the Atai Municipal District, because we're joined on the line by the Cahir Look of Atai, Fine Gael Councillor Ivan Keatley, and he joins us. Ivan, good morning to you. Motions that you brought forward to the recent meeting, then, first of all, you wanted the council to provide an update to members on the number of local improvement scheme and community involvement scheme road improvements works that were carried out in the last 2 years. Just explain those two schemes to us first.
Yeah, well, I suppose they're schemes, thankfully, that the Tay Area Office make plenty of use of, and that was evidenced in the report. First of all, I suppose the local improvement scheme is a scheme where a laneway is still privately owned, not in the ownership of the council, and the residents can claim 85% of the cost of resurfacing the roadway. So you would have plenty of laneways down around Castle Dermot. One was done in Bale, and there was a few done over in around Kilbury in the last couple of years, where the private residents paid somewhere between 10 and 15% of the overall cost, and the council paid the remainder and get the work done. The CIS scheme then is a similar scheme. The only difference, Owen, is that the lane is actually in the council's possession, and similarly the residents can obtain a grant for it or do some of the works themselves as well. So it's a great way of locals and the council cooperating in order to get these small roadways done.
Okay, and did you get the update that you wanted?
Yeah, no, it was the reason I put down the motion on was just to highlight to people around the south of the county that these schemes are there. And a lot of times when we get contacted about potholes and about bad surfacing, people are not even aware these schemes are in place. So it is important that people can use them. And I know I've already given out forms for 3 schemes since Christmas, and hopefully those will be funded by the Department of Transport and Department of Agriculture.
Okay, you also had a motion, Ivan, in relation to the road between Ballytor and Crookstown. Is this an issue, the footpath there?
It is. It's a really busy road for people walking. People from Crookstown and Ballytor, people from the surrounding areas, often come down to Crookstown, park up their cars, walk down by the River Grease, back up the Tourne Road, up through the village of Ballytor, back around to Crookstown. It's a lovely scenic route, and there is a footpath on the Ballytor side and on the Crookstown side, all down around by the church, the school, and there's a section missing that I believe would accommodate some type of pedestrian improvement works. And we've had similar calls. You'll recall having the Calverstown Action Network, the local committee, on before Christmas, on in relation to a similar type project that is needed. So thankfully we met, we've been looking to meet the sustainable transport team. This is a new team that has been put together in the transportation section of the council, and their senior engineer Donald Hodgkins met us after our meeting to discuss this and other possible pilot projects that we may have around the county. And Donald had some really good news in relation to a tie, the education campus getting linked up back out to the Kilkenny side that they're actively working on with the NTA at the moment. Now look, I suppose as local councillors, our concern is that the NTA don't necessarily always see the priorities that we as local reps would see. But Donald gave us some reassurance that at least we can put a programme of works together this year in conjunction with the sustainable transport team. There are currently 6 staff members there, and they're looking to get that up to 12 to get these types of works up and running around the county, because there's a huge demand.
And would you hope that incorporates that road that you mentioned there between Ballyshannon and Calverstown? Because as you said, we had the Calverstown Action Network on the programme, and they're mainly concerned that this is on a school route. There is a school there and children are walking along that road.
Yeah, and Donald did inform us that there is an active travel to schools programme that the NTA are actively involved in. Now, unfortunately, the NTA are prioritising school campuses that are a lot bigger, similar to the school campus in Atai, where there are 1,000 plus pupils attending. But what he did suggest is that we can look at these types of situations on a pilot basis and bring those forward to the NTA for funding. So we'll be looking forward to working with the Sustainable Transport team to try and get those types of projects prioritised in 2022.
Okay, with those motions and issues brought forward to the Athy Municipal District meeting of a couple of days ago, the Cathaoirleach of Athy MD, Fine Gael Councillor Ivan Keatley. Thanks, Ivan, and good morning.
Thank you, gentlemen. Now, so we just want to finish in terms of the theme that we've been covering in regards to Aisling Murphy in recent times, and may she rest in peace, and indeed all those 250 women who have died since women's aid records began. And as I say, it doesn't mean that the killing of women started in 1996. It has always been a factor, but has become much more prevalent. Many people have said to me how shocked they were yesterday at the number of women who were being murdered each year in this country, and also how shocked they were themselves that they didn't recall most of those names. And some people saying, you know, foreigners are often much maligned coming into this country, and yet many of the names on those lists yesterday were women from other countries who had come to make a new life in Ireland. One final note on this whole thing for the moment comes from Paul Horan, who's assistant professor at the School of Nursery and of Nursing, I should say, and midwifery at Trinity College. And he says, I'm very concerned that at the politicisation for whatever cause of the tragic death of Aisling Murphy, which has shocked our nation, I welcome all the mournful vigils that have occurred to show our communal solidarity and revulsion at Aisling's murder in broad daylight on the banks of the tranquil Grand Canal in Tullamore. Indeed, I attended one such vigil myself. But I was appalled to see one such vigil hijacked for a political purpose. He goes on to say, by all means, let's do that. But we need to be mindful and careful and sensitive not to politicise and objectify her terrible death. Collective, congregated, silent, reflective vigils are right to do. But we also need to come together to absolutely abhor, condemn, call out and show zero tolerance to all forms of violence towards all members of society, in particular women and children and the vulnerable. He goes on to say there is no freedom until all women and citizens are free from violence and abuse in all its heinous forms. And indeed, the point has been made much in recent days that, yes, the focus is rightly so on how vulnerable women are and the appalling violence being perpetrated on them, ultimately leading to the death of the 250 or so in the last 35 years or so. But also tens of thousands of women who are suffering domestic abuse on a daily basis. Tens of thousands, as we've often recounted in this programme. Thousands of men who are also suffering domestic violence abuse, who are also suffering appalling assaults on the streets of this country. Men and women and children who are suffering from the criminal activity of gangs throughout this country and the violence being perpetrated on them and the sanctity of their homes being destroyed. We need a collective on this one to address all aspects, and hopefully we'll all keep our fingers crossed that much of the sentiments expressed by politicians in recent times, from the Taoiseach to the Minister for Justice, will not be lost and forgotten about in the coming days when some other event overtakes us and we all go about it again until another woman is murdered. And hopefully Aisling Murphy's death is the watershed that many have mentioned in recent times, that having, you know, presided over the deaths and murders of 250 women alone, not to count the murders of men in our society in the last 35 years or so, that something will finally be done in the homes, in the schools, in our Dáil Éireann, and at judiciary level to address this problem once and for all. And that the idea of people being allowed to roam free and on bail and shorter sentences will be addressed also. And that's the end of the commentary on that particular topic for the moment, as we say. Now let's turn to positive news, because I was very pleasantly not surprised, because I know how hard they work, but I thought when I saw this news, I said, well done indeed Kildare Enterprise Office, because 254 new jobs created in 2021 alone, and that's not the end of the good news. Jackie McNabb is the Kildare Local Enterprise Officer. Good morning, Jacqueline.
Good morning, Clem, and good morning to your listeners.
Did I call you Jacqueline? Are you actually a Jacqueline?
Oh, I am. In the era, just give away my age now, Clem.
Don't give away your age at all.
Jacqueline Onassis, visit to Ireland, I think. Yeah.
All right, you wouldn't be the only Jacqueline that got so named because of that. Now, Jackie McNabb, you are the Kildare Local Enterprise Officer. You've been on the programme frequently with us, telling us about the schemes and grants that are available to businesses in Kildare. And what about this good news in 2021? 250 jobs created. Tell us more.
Yes, indeed, Clem. I suppose much was made by Minister Leo Bradker, the Taoiseach's announcement of the overall job figures in Ireland. And I'm delighted on behalf of Kildare County Council and the local enterprise office to say that we played a part in that and the creation, as you said, of over 254 jobs within, I suppose, it's really worth noting the context. These jobs were created not in totality for Kildare, but amongst the clients, the under 10s companies in County Kildare, so the clients of the Leo offices. So that is, I suppose, only 238 companies are responsible for that whopping 254 jobs created.
But you're also supporting a total of 1,156 employees in these companies.
Absolutely, absolutely. The micro-enterprises, they play such a part through such a difficult time. So 55 companies were funded, 1.9 million last year, Clem. And the good news and great news in terms of talking about new and positive work in Kildare, 30 of them were brand new clients to the local enterprise office, and indeed 25 of them were headed by females in that same period. In total, the local enterprise office funded almost 2.5 million across a number of measures last year, and I suppose we'll continue to do that going into 2022. And I suppose really conscious of the amount of businesses that have struggled. It's fantastic news that we have created that number, but it's not the local enterprise office per se that created those. We supported companies in our area to create those jobs.
Yeah, but Jackie,
entrepreneurs that do that.
Yeah, you know? But if you didn't provide that support, Jackie, ultimately those jobs couldn't happen. So what you're doing is you're enabling the creation of these jobs, which is absolutely crucial. And also on a positive note, it's the eighth year of year-on-year jobs growth being supported by your LEO. And the even better news is that you continue to provide substantial funded supports, do you not, to thousands of small businesses?
Absolutely. That wouldn't be in that category. So many businesses that we support wouldn't be in those job figures. There are businesses that might fall out of our catchment area or the sectoral area, but that doesn't stop them applying for 2,500 for a trading online voucher. It doesn't prevent them getting green assistance vouchers of up to 4,000 euros, and notwithstanding the fantastic support of our expertise of our mentors and our trainers. And that will continue throughout 2022. Our job this year is to ensure that nobody is left behind, if at all possible. And whether they're creating a job or sustaining a job within their company, we want to be part of that support.
Well, on that very happy note, if anyone wants to find out more, by the way, you can log on to the website localenterprise.ie, find Kildare. Jackie McNabb and her team are waiting to help you. If you have ideas, if you're an entrepreneur, small, startup, whatever else, the Kildare Local Enterprise Office is the first-stop shop for entrepreneurs and small businesses, providing a wide range of supports that includes, as Jackie said, financial, mentoring, training and sector-specific expertise to help guide businesses at any stage of their development. Listen, it's a no-brainer. It's free money out there. It's free service out there. It's free support if you have an idea to start up and create employment. And Jackie McNabb is the key woman there with her team of the Kildare Local Enterprise Office. Well done you, Jackie.
Thank you very much, Clem, and to KFM for their continued support. Really appreciate
You're
it.
You're more than welcome, and indeed well done to your team as well. The website is localenterprise.ie. That was Jackie McNabb.